The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. Just walked out of One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Ira, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself is here. And we have got a podcast for you. We appreciate everybody listening on Apple Podcasts and subscribing there. Leave a review if you want to. And also Podbean, Podcast Addict, Joe Bucks Fan, other platforms. Love the numbers, love the sage. And we've got a fun announcement next week, Ira. Very excited about that. That's all baked and, baked's the right word, not fried, baked.
That's right, baked. Lightly grilled.
There you go. September 2nd, that's an important day because that's the end of the huge summer sales event at Bill Curry Ford. 0% financing, zero money down. Zero payments for 90 days, two-year maintenance plan. It ends September 2nd. There are no extensions. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford is a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and they are the best in the business, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers. They've been around since 1960, and General Manager Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount for everybody. You just have to ask him personally. And family-owned, it means the world. They've got mobile service where they will work on your vehicle at your property for no extra charge. It's unbelievable. If they have to bring the vehicle in for service, no extra charge for that.
Then they'll bring it back.
They are doing everything for Tampa Bay and securing business. 100 loaner vehicles, no charge for those. Biggest service drive.
Open in Sunday service.
You name it, Ira. It's crazy. Biggest service drive in the state. Bill Curry Ford. .com. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, we'll talk about them later. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Your first phone call if you have mold damage, storm damage, lightning damage, fire damage, water damage, you got to call them, you got to reach out, but get educated. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. So Ira, look, we're going to sort of clear the floor because this is an interesting day, and it simply put the name out there, Kyle Trask. He's gone. I sat here on the last podcast, said it's over.
What? You
it's
did?
It's done. There's no chance. Got some nasty emails on that, but your thoughts, Ira, and then we'll go to Lee.
Well, it turned out you were absolutely right, Steve, in terms of there was nothing Kyle Trask could have done last Saturday night to save that number two job, Lee. And he certainly didn't hurt himself by the way he played. Lee, he played a lot better than he played in the second preseason game. So the decision was made, obviously, well in advance of the third preseason game. Lee, I think it was over when Bridgewater threw those two touchdown passes and just showed that he had a little bit left, whatever he had left, and showed it right in front of Todd Bowles on the sidelines. And I think it was over right then and there. I was told today that Bridgewater was indeed feeling under the weather. That was not a fabricated health issue. But the fact remains, Steve, you said it as a definitive statement. Lee and I didn't know you were going to come that strong, but I'm glad you did. It reminded me of a couple of years ago when I said, hey, this competition between Trask and Mayfield is over. Mayfield's got the job. What? How could you say that? They got more games to play and this and that.
If
and,
we could only say who told you, they'd be over.
Yeah.
It'd be over.
So as far as the Trask legacy, there ain't much to it. There ain't much to it. 11 pass attempts. You know, I think he's still looking for his first touchdown pass as a pro. Good guy.
Oh, he's
And I'm not sure he can't have a Mike Glennon career where he lasts 10 years as a backup.
What do you mean? The Bears are going to be stupid enough to sign him
in? I'm not sure he's not going to get a job as a backup.
What did Glennon get, like $60 million or something from the Bears?
16 for one
16,
year.
16, yeah.
But Lee wrote an interesting article on Joe Bucks Fan today, and I think he made the essential point. And I'll let Lee carry on, but the essential point, Trask didn't earn Todd Bowles' trust, and Bridgewater did. Am I saying that wrong?
No, I think it all goes down to experience. And people scream, oh, Bridgewater's washed up. Okay, maybe so. But he did start a playoff game, I seem to recall. You know, he's played in the league quite a bit. Yeah, he's bounced around. I simply think I go back to, and if people want to read the article, go to JoeBucksFan.com. I think I spell it out fairly detailed, fairly clearly. I just think it goes back to, and people are going to scream at me for saying this, when Tom Brady went on his Bahamian...
vacation.
No, sabbatical.
Sabbatical.
Bahamian sabbatical, there we go. And he left for like 11 days. And by default, Trask got a promotion to the number two team. And this is going to rile people up, but if you were at practice, you would have seen it plain as day as I did. He was not on Blaine Gabbert's level. He just was not. I'm sorry. He was not. So, Gabbert went to first team. Trask went to second team. First practice in the Glazer shed, he completely melted down. It may have been the worst practice I've seen an NFL quarterback had. Throwing picks all over the place, throwing into triple coverage. It was so bad that at times, after an incompletion or a pick, Buck's defensive lineman walked across the line of scrimmage to pat him on the back to offer him, you know, solace and support. I've never seen that before. He was awful. Matter of fact, a writer at the time replied to one of my tweets. He didn't think Trask was going to make the team. I thought he was going to get cut. And who, by the way, was defensive coordinator for the Bucs? Same guy as the head coach, Todd Bowles. He saw that, and he's like, no way. No way.
And Lee makes the bigger point even, Steve, that Bowles was witness to Kyle Trask every day in practice since he became a Buccaneer. And he just didn't earn Bowles' trust.
No, 4 years.
In public, Bowles always talked up Trask. He never knocked him. But when push came to shove between Bridgewater and Trask, I think it was a fairly easy decision for Bowles.
I'm gonna call a level of bullshit on both of you guys.
You're saying Bowles wasn't trusted him?
I'm saying, what the hell was Kyle Trask doing here last year?
Okay.
What was he doing here? All of a sudden, experience now matters. But last year, after you got all the way to the second round of the playoffs, entering 2024, it doesn't matter. Trask is the backup for 2024. Now, all of a sudden, experience matters? And why did you re-sign Kyle Trask if all of a sudden experience matters? You could have had Teddy Bridgewater in 2024 for peanuts. You could have had him earlier this year for peanuts. As Jason Light said, while we were talking about this in May, something doesn't add up. I agree with you guys that they lost trust in him, but the Bucs are trying to sell us experience. It's very important. What the hell was going on last year?
He had a bad training camp this year. It was
something
bad.
Happened. Something happened. The guy regressed, or Baker Mayfield doesn't like him and thinks he doesn't value him enough in the film room. Or Josh Grizzard came in and said, look,
ding,
man, I'm the offensive coordinator. You want my opinion? This guy sucks.
Ding.
Something happened.
Grizzard.
That is the only thing that explains re-signing him with guaranteed money.
You said it yourself.
Grizzard.
He regressed. He regressed in front of Grizzard.
Grizzard. That's it.
So it's a wild situation. The fans don't like it. I was...
We're not going to have Gator fans breathing down our neck anymore.
Well, I think it's fair to say, for whatever reason, bad, good, or indifferent, there's a little more urgency this year, i.e. Hassan Reddick. Bowles is just not a sacks guy, but they went out and got a sacks guy. I think this is similarly. They know they can make a run, so there's a little more urgency, so that raised the value of the backup. And Trask didn't meet that value.
That's a fair point, too, Lee. It's a fair point.
Could you say, Ira?
You're looking for something sinister over here, isn't
it? I'm not looking for something sinister.
It's your custom.
I'm saying it doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. Something happened. He lost trust. He trusted him last year? So Bowles is a moron, is what
he lost trust in 3 years ago.
Then what was he doing here?
I cannot answer
that. That's crazy.
In retrospect, they took the chance last year that Mayfield wasn't going to get hurt, and it paid off, but they weren't going to take that
chance. Ira, you and I, I'm not going to say who, and I'm not going to use his words directly, but you and I were privy to someone in authority at the Bucs.
Yes.
A few months ago.
Yes.
Did you get any sense at that time that the Bucs are ready to dump Trask?
No, but I was made aware that he was having a bad training camp about 3 weeks ago.
The meeting that I'm talking about was way before training camp.
Yeah.
Way before underwear football.
Looked like they were comfortable with Trask being the number
exactly.
two.
Exactly.
I like Trask. I'm not blasting Trask. The guy's never had a chance. The only real chance he had to play, and I'm not talking about the
Mayfield breaking a leg,
the end of the 2022 game, 2022 season when the Bucs tanked the last game and he played a chunk against the Falcons. He came in against Indianapolis. Mayfield got hurt, came off. They were in the red zone. He threw a perfect pass to Chris Godwin in the back of the end zone. He dropped it. That was his only real chance in a real game to do something. And then he had one other pass, which there was a penalty, I think an offensive penalty.
I think so.
And then Mayfield came back in. The guy never got to play. He played behind a bad offensive line in the preseason. And the Bucs, you know, they like their second team offensive line. Most second team offensive lines suck, but I wish him well. But the weird thing today, guys, is Todd Bowles, if you go back and listen to him today, Tuesday, he says pretty much, well, it was a nice run for Kyle and it's over. Yet Todd Bowles was very clear. He had a long talk with Desmond Watson, the guy who hasn't practiced, the guy who hasn't gotten his weight to where he needs to get on the field. And Bowles was talking openly about, in a couple of weeks, we're going to go back to maybe bringing him back. So they're
moving on from Kyle Trask.
So here we are at the end of training camp, and Kyle Trask is less likely to be on the roster than a guy who hasn't practiced. It's crazy.
Well, within the next week, three teams have the opportunity to pick him up if they think he's all that, as some people who went to school 2 hours north of Tampa think that he is. One of which, the Raiders, they've been openly begging for a backup. Openly. And they traded for Kenny Pickett. And here's Tom Brady, who spent 2 years with Trask, John Spytek, who was part of the organization who drafted and scouted him. And they thought Kenny Pickett was a better option, a more expensive option, I might add. Okay, now you got Dave Canales. Arguably, Trask has best training camp with Dave Canales. If he's looking for a quarterback, there's an opportunity. Jacksonville just got rid of John Wolford. Liam Cohen works there. Cohen was with the Bucs, offensive coordinator. So those are three teams. If Trask is all that, three teams should be on the phone with Trask's agent. We'll see in about a week how much they really value Kyle Trask.
Look, from a Buck perspective, Steve, I think they're making the right call. I'm more comfortable with Bridgewater than Trask. I am. I think it makes the Bucs a better team. If Mayfield should go down for a month, I think they can go 2-2 with Bridgewater. And I didn't really have that confidence that they could go 2-2 with Trask. Trask's a good guy. He handled himself very well. And I'm not going to, by the way, I'm not going to rip light for drafting him. A second-round quarterback, the odds are he's not going to make it.
Well, that's a good point. I was one of the many people who thought that was a great idea. Get ready for the end of Tom Brady. You know, I've been very critical of Trask only because he gave me a reason to be critical. I mean, I was all for that draft pick. I was all for Trask. Then I saw him after a couple training camps, like, no.
When they broke down the training camp tape this summer, in the past month, Trask graded very poorly. Very poorly. And he couldn't overcome that. And that prompted the interest in Bridgewater or another option. And then when Bridgewater threw those two nice passes, it's not like they were 40-yard lasers, by the way. They were touch passes. But it was over for Trask that night. It was over.
It's a very interesting situation. Like Lee laid out, some things that could happen in the next week, including him coming back to the Bucs. As a practice squad guy. Doesn't seem that way, but it is potentially there. I think the Bucs are better with Bridgewater for the scenario that you laid out, Ira, but I don't know. I've never seen Kyle Trask play real football, so I don't know. He's got a big arm. I like the pick, too, because they had the incubator set up with Brady and Tom Moore and Leftwich and Arians is the quarterback whisperer, and Kyle Trask fit into Arians' offense. You know, Tom Brady-ish, Carson Palmer body and arm and that
pocket
kind of stuff.
Passer.
Yeah, so I'm not knocking it. Last pick of the second round. Certainly, though, that's the end of the 2021 draft, I think, for the Bucs.
Yeah, real quick, the last time he didn't play real football, I don't think I'm going to use that as a resume builder.
So, Ira, on the quarterback front, I got to ask you this question because you are about to enter your 50th year. We're days away.
Why do you got to remind me about that, Steve?
Yeah, I told Hassan.
It's an accomplishment.
I did tell Hassan.
I told Hassan Reddick. I said, hey, Hassan, 50th year right now covering sports.
It's an accomplishment. A proud accomplishment.
Reddick said, that's crazy, man.
Reddick said, that's crazy.
And then he said, I thought it was 60.
Oh!
Anyway.
I think he's going to get me a rocking chair next week to sit in the locker room.
Didn't the Celtics do that with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I think they did.
They bought him a rocking chair?
Ira, Baker Mayfield, could he have saved Kyle Trask if he said, no, I like Kyle, he's valuable, I want to keep him around?
I don't think so. Mayfield's got clout, Lee. No question he's got clout. On a lot of issues, they run things past Mayfield. He is the face of the franchise, basically, right now. But when it came to making a decision about who's backing him up, I don't think Mayfield was going to carry the weight.
Steve, I'm giving you a life preserver here. I'm giving you a lifesaver. That's a very sinister suggestion you're making that Mayfield pushed Trask out the door.
Or that he didn't save him. Or that he
didn't save him. Yeah, didn't save him. I'm not suggesting he pushed him out. I'm suggesting if they asked him, did Mayfield say, we got to keep him? That's my opinion.
Because I read your story as well. I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for Mayfield to go blow a gasket here.
No, you're not saying Mayfield actively worked against Kyle Trask. You're not
I don't know what you mean by actively, but in theory, they ask Mayfield, what do you think of this? We're going to keep this guy. What do you think of the tight ends? Who do you like? What are you feeling? So if they asked him about Trask, my question to you was, do you think he could have saved him? You said no.
Bowles and Grizzard drove this decision. Lee, Bowles and slash Grizzard.
I'm very uncomfortable with that sort of premise. Like, hey, he could have saved him. Comparing a backup quarterback to a guy, a regular target, that's a little different. I can't.
Well, he has to work with him every day on a personal level.
Work with him, yeah. I mean,
but the Bucs don't even, they're not saying they want him on the practice squad. So, if Mayfield said, hey, can we get Kyle on the practice squad, give him max money, keep him
there? Wouldn't they be tipping pitches if they did that? Like, that might be a signal to some other team. Oh, he might be halfway decent. Let's go get him.
Ultimately, Bowles' call, Lee. Bowles' call.
Oh, yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah, he's a head coach. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think Mayfield did anything sinister. I think he might have. I don't know how he answered the question. You know, just like when they asked him, what do you think of Teddy Bridgewater? Have you heard about him? You know him? You like him? We're thinking of bringing him in. He would give a yay or nay, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, one guy that I've been thinking about during this cutdown stuff is, Lee, tell me if I'm right. If Benjamin Morrison had been a fifth-round draft pick instead of a second, would he be cut? Would Benjamin Morrison be cut?
If he was a fifth-rounder?
If he was a fifth- or sixth-rounder? The guy didn't play.
No,
the guy
but.
Didn't practice.
No, but. There's a big but here. No, but. They don't have an investment in a fifth-round pick like they would a second-round pick. Always remember, it's a business. Investiture, as you like to say. Investiture.
So you're agreeing with me that maybe he'd be gone.
There would be a better chance, but I don't think he'd be gone.
It's just a weird question.
They put him on a pup list or something.
He wouldn't be as good as he is. So, yeah, they probably would try to squeeze him on the practice squad. Or
you know how Bowles is about guys that don't practice, Steve. You mentioned it several times today. You're not going to make the team.
You also got to remember Bowles played with the kid's dad. So there might be something there, too. But, no, if he was a fifth-round pick, they would have pup-listed him or something. I don't think they would have thrown him to the wolves.
He sure blew a good chance, in my opinion, of unseating Jamel Dean at some point this season. I think Dean's going to have to get hurt.
You and Pete Prisco.
Well, the update on Morrison, the second-round pick, Bowles said today he didn't think he would practice this week at all. Didn't expect him to. He said he's running pretty good, but they'll see about next week. So he's a little time away. Guy hasn't played in a few weeks. And, oh, by the way, we reported he'd miss all the preseason, and that was dead on. So there you go.
By the way, my report from the locker room today, gentlemen, and speaking to Levante David and Hassan Reddick about facing the Falcon offense, which is one of the better offenses in the league.
In theory.
Surely the strength of Atlanta's team. As from a David perspective, the guy who made the pick the first time that they played Atlanta in week 5 last year, and the three of us thought, hey, this game's over. This game's in the ledger for the Bucs. And it didn't happen because Bucky Irving made his one big mistake.
Was that after David's pick?
And David's very eager to, not him, but I mean as the whole defense. They are eager. And as Reddick told me, what better time to make a statement to Atlanta? Hey, this division's going to be ours again. The more I think about it, the schedule maker was brilliant. Brilliant. I love going to Atlanta in week 1. Steve.
Must win?
No, not a must win.
To switch gears, as of now, before it's official at 4 or 5 o'clock today, the Bucs are keeping 7 receivers. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, who's injured, Emeka Abuka, Sterling Shepard, Tez Johnson, Ryan Miller, who Todd Bowles said made the team for covering kicks when I asked him that, and Cameron Johnson.
Cameron Johnson.
So those are your
receivers. I don't know about Cameron. I'm with Lee. Cameron Johnson.
He's got to learn how to catch the
Bowles
damn ball.
Bowles was asked about 7 receivers. He didn't deny that and went right to talking about it. So, and that's what's been circulating, that Cameron Johnson is on the team.
Dude's always hurt and he can't catch.
I said to Sterling Shepard today, Lee, something tells me you might play a critical role on this team, especially the first half of the season, obviously meaning till Godwin comes back. And he said there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. Shepard's under the radar, Lee. He can make some plays.
I'm wanting to
Tez
say
Johnson isn't quite ready to be a polished receiver.
Who, Cam Johnson?
Tez. Lee, do I want two rookies being my number 2 and number 3 receivers?
You know, we were talking about Trask. Well, I can tell you there's, you know, to Steve's point, where I'm trying to cushion the blow because I know how people are going to read into it. You know, Steve saying, hey, Mayfield may or may not have been able to save Trask's job. Well, I can tell you there was one receiver that wasn't a friend of Kyle Trask's. There was one receiver in Pittsburgh. We were fortunate enough we could sit on or stand on the sidelines up at the joint practice with the Steelers. I'm not going to say the guy's name because I don't want this guy to punch me. But there was a receiver, Trask, terribly underthrew right in front of me. Terribly underthrew.
I was open?
Yeah. And this guy turns around and starts cussing and goes, blankety blank, what are you trying to throw me a back shoulder pass there for, you mother, blank, blank, stupid, blankety blank.
And you heard it.
He's right in front of me.
Is he on the roster?
No comment.
No comment.
I can't believe Bowles was cursing like that, Lee. I don't know about seven receivers, Steve. Now, come on.
Well, look, it could change. It sounded to me like Bowles is looking at another quarterback, because I asked him that.
Wow.
He didn't deny it.
No, he didn't say we're good. We're with Bazelak, if we're thinking about it. No, he's was a very hearty could-be.
Bazelak, so, real quick, because I know we want to keep listeners, so I'm going to be very quick with this guy. He's still a number four quarterback if Trask was here.
Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah, thank you. But he's terrible, but damn did he come a long way. And rookie minicamp, like, where the hell did you find this guy? You can go out to Plant High School and find a quarterback better. To his credit, he came a long way. He's not an NFL quarterback, maybe UFL, but he came a long way.
I kind of wish Mayfield took some snaps during the preseason. I don't know. I mean, other teams have different theories about the way they do it. Mahomes plays. Lee, Mahomes
Josh Allen
plays.
Did not.
Josh Allen did not.
All of the Falcons starters did not play. None of them. Except the rookies. That's it.
Did Stafford play at all?
No, I don't
he's hurt.
I don't think he's had a full practice.
I thought he had come back, but I didn't know if he played. Because McVay is notorious for resting his starters.
Ira, a couple things from the locker room today. But first, we mentioned before, Florida's Elite Restoration. Elite. That's the key word there. Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll restore your property after you have some sort of disaster. Flood, mold, fire. And they've got 5-star Google reviews across the board, Ira, which is incredible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, he's got an Ira Kaufman discount for you. Just mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And after they give you a free inspection, if you need them and you sign up for them to restore your property or replace something, everything they do, you'll get $500 back. Just that simple. There's no catch. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And Ira, when I say 5-star Google reviews, I'm not joking. 278 reviews, 5.0 rating.
That's a lot of reviews.
Yeah, it's stunning for that business when people call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're having a disaster. Bad things can happen. Their life is in crisis, and they love the way they're treated. You will, too. So, Sage, the locker room, there you are. You got a long conversation with Levante David and Tristan Wirfs and Hassan Reddick. You hit all the big guns, the big money guys.
Didn't even have my tape recorder out. Just conversation.
Conversation. What were you getting from Wirfs there? It looked pretty serious. It wasn't lighthearted over there.
Well, my opening line, Lee, and I'm the only one who can say this. When are you getting your ass back on the field? That's my opening line to
Did
Wirfs.
Did he laugh?
Yeah, he laughed. And he goes, hopefully sooner rather than later. And I said, he mentioned something about week four. He mentioned it.
I think
that's
a target.
I said, what about
date?
Week three?
Yeah.
I said, it's a home opener, Jets. And I don't think he realized it, because I think his focus has been on week four. He goes, that wouldn't be bad. I go, no, home opener wouldn't be bad. So, I think we're looking at week three or four. I think we can count them out, the first two games. Road games, turf.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely going to miss the first two games. Now, I worry about that Texans game with that. They got a pass rush. I think they're going to have to help Heck in that game.
Well, that could be.
Ferocious pass rush.
Now, I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. I apologize. Eileen, but if people watch the preseason games and they watch Channel 8, you know who I'm talking about. Eileen got a picture of where Saturday night before the game, no cane. So that's the first time I've seen him walking around without any assistance.
I think he's progressing right on track. I think they will hopefully wouldn't miss four games, and I don't think he's going to miss four games. I don't think he's going to miss four games.
It just speaks to how serious the whole damn thing was.
Look, they'd love to have him back against Atlanta.
10 weeks. Yeah. He's going to end up being out 10 weeks. 9 weeks.
Yeah.
A long time. So I don't know if it's even realistic to think that he'll ever be the same based on things we've heard about his knee issue. He did a sit-down with TampaBay.com.
You're talking about arguably the best player on this team,
well,
Steve.
I'm being realistic. He spoke to TampaBay.com. John Romano talked about the procedure that he had. if you just Google it, the Cleveland Medical Clinic, whatever the big thing is called there in Cleveland.
Mayo?
No, the...
Cleveland. I know what you're talking about.
It's a famous clinic.
Yeah.
Anderson?
No, it's just called Cleveland. the Cleveland Clinic.
All right.
You know, the city, Cleveland.
I was reading about this procedure from them. It's to sort of restore, try to restore cartilage when you've got bone on bone in your knee. It was serious surgery. It was an issue that he's had now that dates back to last season. It's still there. So he's a sixth year player. He weighs he's a big dude. It's a joint issue. I mean, let's be realistic.
He's a superior athlete, Steve.
I think he'll be a great player. We may have seen his very best already, which is no knock. You know, it could be reality. I don't know how much he can make it back this year, you know, as far as his hunt, when we can say, when will Wirfs be 100%? I don't know.
I'm curious to see this guy Pierce on the Falcons, the rookie. Now, they got two rookies that they're hoping will really transform their defense. But this guy Pierce, he's a weirdo. and I think he was off the Bucs board because of some of his shenanigans. But nobody questions his talent. And he's an angry mother effer.
Really?
Yeah. They might take him off the right edge there and try to really test heck right off the bat.
You spoke with someone at the Combine about this character, and you were given a one-word answer. You remember what that word was?
No, I don't remember the word.
It was very damning.
Psycho?
No. It was very damning. Whatever it was, let's continue. But it was the word that you got. It was one-word answer, and it was not good.
Atlanta invested a lot in this guy, Steve.
Pierce, according to the Atlanta writers,
He's had a good camp.
Pierce has had a great camp. The other guy, Jalen Walker out of Georgia, who was chosen before Pierce, he's had allegedly a little trouble adjusting.
He struggled a bit.
The defense is sort of new to him kind of thing. So it'll be interesting. I've been reading
Is new to him.
Been reading about Joe Tryon Soyinka adapting to Jim Schwartz and playing in a 4-3 defense up in Cleveland. That should be fun to watch. See if he gets the starting nod up there. But back to the roster, Ira. Look, they kept four running backs this year. Josh Williams made the roster.
As he should.
And
every time I looked at the kid, he was making a play. Lee, yeah.
Yeah.
So four running backs, they only kept three last year.
You could also help on special teams.
Well, all these guys have to help on special.
Because Johnson might be a work in progress, Lee, as a punt returner. He can dazzle you, but his judgment at times, I think, could be questionable in terms of being a rookie. When to call a fair catch. Don't try to handle the ball inside your 5-yard line, which I think was a big problem for Trey Palmer. And a reason that Palmer didn't make the cut.
It just blows my mind how these guys don't know something a high school kid would know. Don't catch a freaking punt inside your 5. I don't know how they don't know that.
It's like rule 1, Lee. Steve, that's rule 1.
I mean, to me...
get away from the ball.
To me, you got to have your head so far up your derriere not to know that. I mean, that just blows my mind how they don't know
that. What's the difference if you make a fair catch on the 5 or it rolls to the 2? It's not worth the risk. Not a big difference.
There was a kid, I didn't watch the game, but I read about it because it was all over Twitter. It was like Kansas State, I think, Iowa State, that game. 3-yard line, he's catching a punt and a rain on the 3-yard line. What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
These guys lose their bearings, you know, and it's not acceptable.
Any surprise about Trey Palmer? Not for me, Steve.
No,
they never talked about Trey Palmer, and they obviously didn't want him to be the returner. And
they hyped up Tez.
And he got hurt. He probably had a chance to dazzle this summer, but it didn't happen. I'm sure they tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him. Why wouldn't they shop? Hey, this guy caught 39 balls as a rookie.
Again, no big deal about a 6th-round pick not making it. No big deal.
No. All right. Before I hit my last thing, Lee, you got anything you want to throw at Ira?
Well, real quick, Ira, you know, you just said no big deal, 6th-round pick. You know how people love the bang on a general manager who's not 100% hit rate? You know that. Well, someone went off, and at one point, I think this was accurate, that light 2nd-round picks, that's his boogeyman. Well, Bobby Fenton, who has the free stretch on our website, joebucksfan.com, he put it out on Twitter, all of Jason Light's 2nd-round picks. He's hitting over 50% on those 2nd-round picks, which if you talk to Bill Polian, that's a hell of a batting average.
That's a decent average in the 1st round.
Yeah.
Nobody should be ripping Light for his last 5 or 6 years of drafting. Nobody.
Oh, well, outside of 2021, that was a COVID draft. So.
No, but he could still make mistakes.
Well, according to you, he made a mistake by bringing Trask back last year. Now, they got away with it.
They did.
They got lucky.
Look, you're the one who said 435 times you got to have a better backup quarterback.
I haven't.
Now, 2 years later, the Bucs are like, you got to have a better backup quarterback.
And I didn't like the answer that some people would give me, Lee, when I would say that. Sometimes they would say, well, if you lose your starting quarterback, your season's over. I said, who's talking about losing your quarterback? I'm talking about a guy going down for 3 weeks. That's my point. If Mayfield's out for 3 months, goodbye.
How about 1 week? Isn't that the difference? One game can be the difference
yes.
between the playoffs or not yes. making the playoffs.
All right, was calling me out.
I'm sticking with the 11-6, Steve. Is anybody joining me over here? I'm sticking with
it. It's too early for predictions. That'll be next week.
That'll be next week.
How
did I do last year? Anybody?
We'll review that next
we'll
week.
Review yeah, we'll you can throw those out, Steve. No, you don't have to review
them. We can throw them out. All right. So about 2-3 weeks ago, Jamel Dean said that he believed, this was in July 31st.
That's a week into camp.
Yeah, he said that he thinks that the Bucs are better now than the 2020 Super Bowl season.
Wow.
And we wrote it up at Joe Bucs Fan. Pretty damn strong statement.
I can't agree with that.
He talked about the camaraderie, the grit, and so I finally got a chance to corner him today at his locker. I said, Jamel, it's been a few weeks, you know, gave you some time. I reminded him what he said and asked him if he could tell me more about it, what he was thinking, what he was feeling. And was he kidding around? Does he stand behind it? He absolutely stands behind it.
Oh, man.
And did not back down. And he said, I get why it sounds a little wacky, but I know what I'm seeing on the practice field against the offense. He said, I'll take this offense over 2020.
If the Bucs just make it to a Super Bowl, I would hire Dean to work in my personnel department if he has this right.
I don't see Gronkowski out there.
No Gronkowski, no JPP, no Shaq Barrett.
And as good as Mayfield was last year, I'm not going to say he was better than Brady in 2020.
No,
Brady
should have been the MVP
last year.
Not in 2020.
But I'm telling you what Jamel Dean said, what he sees from the offense in practice, and he loves the young players on defense.
Now, they didn't have Bucky Irving.
Yeah, Bucky was better. I love playoff Lane. Bucky was better. They don't have Antonio Brown now. Granted, that's a hell of a wide receiver core, but no Antonio Brown.
And Godwin was healthy.
And Ibuka is not Antonio Brown yet. In some ways, let's hope he never gets to be Antonio Brown.
The O-line may be a wash, Lee. The O-line.
This O-line might, ooh, that's, yeah.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one, yeah. That might be a watch. You're right.
It's
and Ndamukong Suh over Logan Hall, come on now.
Yeah, and JPP.
Yes.
Well, so you're talking about their offense.
I would take, if I had to choose, I would take 2025 Kancey over 2020 Suh. That's just would be, that's a close call.
That's close.
That's what
close.
I would take.
Close.
Close call.
No. But JPP, you know.
No, the edge rushers.
The obby's not JPP.
You had elite edge rushers. You don't have a maybe and question marks. But Jamel Dean didn't back down. I went to Antoine Winfield, another Super Bowl guy.
Look at you.
I said, look, Jamel's been saying this. And, you know, Winfield keeps everything close to the vest. But he said, I'll just say, I know exactly what Jamel's talking about. And I'm not going to disagree with him. But you got to show it on Sunday, and that's all that matters.
Confidence, man.
So, by the way,
he said, we got to show it.
The 2020 Jamel Dean is probably better than the 2025.
That's
Jamel
fair.
Dean.
And we know you believe that 110%.
I saw you making a beeline for Jamel Dean over there. I thought you were going to go over there pointing to me and saying, this is the guy that's been killing you for 3 months.
I was, but he got a phone call.
Since you brought this subject up, it dovetails into my question here. Prickly Pete Prisco.
Yes.
He said the Bucs will be the number one seed in the NFC.
Take it easy.
Well, that's pretty much what his co-host said. This one woman, Sutton, Haley Sutton, and she freaked out. She's like, she all but said, what the hell's wrong with you? She goes, Pete, why? Like that. And anyway, Pete Prisco said the Bucs have 4 layup wins. They'll sweep the Panthers. They'll sweep the Slimy Saints. They'll split with the Falcons. That's a 5-game lead on everybody else. And on that basis, he has the Bucs getting the number one seed. Your thoughts on that first?
I think they should go 5-1 in the division, Steve. I think they should.
So he's right on that.
Whether the splits against the Panthers, you gotta kill the Saints. Saints could be the worst team in football. They stink. They stink, Steve. Sorry. You always got a soft spot for the Saints. Yeah. Not this year.
Soft spot.
Not this year. I know they got a new coach, but that's not enough. He don't throw the ball.
It's a bad team, Ira.
It's a bad team. The Bucs as the number one seed? Well, I'll tell you what, Lee.
11
wins, as I look around the NFC powers, I don't think they've had great off seasons.
No.
Especially Detroit.
That's another thing.
Especially Detroit. Yeah. Washington, it could be a flash in the pan. I like the quarterback. But McLaurin missing all the training camp, that doesn't help early in the year.
Wait a minute. They got no running back.
So
wait a minute. Whoa. So he's missing all the training camp. When do you expect him to be top flight?
McLaurin,
yeah.
Week 3.
Okay, so that means we gotta wait weeks for Wirfs to be ready.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
And McLaurin wasn't even hurt.
The Eagles, I don't think it's been a great offseason for them. Did they make 3 trades in one day? Yeah. I mean,
but they are the champs.
That's nice, buddy, right?
Yeah. They are the champs.
They are the champs. And they're deep. They are deep where you need to be deep. See, that's a team who focuses on the trenches, Lee, and it really pays off.
Well,
really
the Bucks do off. To an extent.
The Rams, I think they got problems with Stafford.
Yes. There's
real problems, besides his age.
49ers, terrible offseason.
49ers, bad offseason.
The Packers, everybody's hyping the Packers. I don't get that.
I'm not crazy about the Packers.
For the number one seed, you need, history says.
12.
You need at least 12, most likely 13, and win a tiebreaker.
I was thinking 11.
17th game, yeah.
I was thinking 11. So it's not outrageous.
It's not outrageous.
Now, by the way, Pete said, as you just did, he said, I love their offseason.
You mean the Bucs?
Yeah.
Yeah, except these injuries are starting to mount.
That's true.
They are starting
to
mount.
So you think he might be onto something? Or is he?
I don't think it's crazy. I if the Bucs don't win this division, there's a problem.
Okay. Now, this is why I brought the subject up. Prickly Pete said, the minute Jamel Dean goes down, hello, Benjamin Morrison.
Well, I'd say absolutely if the guy could get on the field, Lee, get on the field. He's also taking a little pot shot at Jamel Dean. Good. I'm not alone. Now you think he's better than McCollum. I disagree.
I think right now, and I told this to Steve. Right now, I'm not talking about interceptions because we all know he can't catch. Down per down player, down per down cornerback. He's their best cornerback right now. I'm not saying he's Rondé Barber. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying right now as we speak, a down-per-down guy, not third-down corner, first-down, down-per-down, he's their best corner. Because I saw him go up against Evans in training camp. They had like a Mexican standoff. Evans struggled. No, not struggled, but he had to work.
You also saw Morrison against Evans.
Oh, that was a mismatch.
That was
Dick Vitale saying, Eminemer, baby. And McCollum had some plays against Evans, but for the most part, Evans did okay against McCollum. But with Dean, Evans had to work. And based on that, I say.
Hey, I learned something in the locker room today, Steve. I was passing by Jacob Parrish, who was sitting at his locker.
He does not like
nobody
me
around him. And I tried a little small talk. Hey, you ready for the big bad Falcons or whatever? I got a one word answer, and I quickly moved on.
He gave me the.
He's not going to be a media darling.
Yes,
Steve.
Sir. No, he's not.
Most rookies sort of are. He's not, so give him a couple years. He won't say a word.
But I really like him as a player, Lee.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I really like good him player. As a player.
Well, number one seed, I don't know. I don't know if I can go that far, but they got a lot to prove early. You got to come out. Look, Falcons, Texans, Jets, Eagles, at the Seahawks. That's 5 games. That Seahawks game, that's a tough game.
I want 3-2 after 5 weeks.
You have to, otherwise you're not. I mean, you might as well throw number one seed out the window if you're 2-3.
Yeah.
You're worried about the number one seed. Well, Bulls is worried about winning the division.
Bulls got to win week one.
So it seems like, Ira, you see both sides. You think Prickly Pete might be on to something? But it seems like you also agree that Haley Sutton had reason to shriek.
I want the shriek, but I would have said that's a bold prediction.
Well, that's Pete.
He's coming around on the Bucks all summer long. All summer long.
If they go to
and he's not alone. Kay Adams is going crazy.
It's a long day, Ira. Don't get me going.
Oh, my.
They could go 3-0.
Kay Adams is drinking the Buck Kool-Aid more than anybody.
She drinks a lot of Kool-Aid. It's because she was out here, which is good.
Yeah.
She should be excited being here. All right. Bill Curry Ford, thank you. Shop there, BillCurryFord.com.
We're going to be back later in the week, Steve.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there. Be ready. Storm damage, any kind of damage. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. I'm out. Lee, final word. Ira, final word.
We're going to be on DAE again this weekend, Steve? Yes, we will.
Saturday morning, 10 o'clock.
All right. Lee, what's on your mind?
Train wreck.
Lee was referring to James Pierce.
He was.
That was finally the adjective that was given to you for the Falcons.
Good
edge
memory.
Rusher.
Good memory.
All right. Go Bucks.